Okay, I'm back up again. Pablo, as I mentioned earlier, Pablo Morales wasn't able to be here in New Orleans, and so he sent me his presentation to present to you. And so please be gentle. I reviewed this. This will be the third time that I've gone over these slides, so it'll be your first time. Hopefully I'll be able to go by the bad parts and you won't notice if I make any mistakes. But Pablo's been working with biostimulants in one form or another, I think over the last 15 years. And he's been doing extensive work at the University of Puerto Rico in Mayagüez for some time now, looking at seaweed extracts all the way through to a number of other commercial biostimulant products and some experimental ones. His talk today is entitled Amino Acids and Related Compounds as Biostimulants. To get into some of the mode of action of the amino acids, as we all know, they're organic molecules. They can combine, of course, to form the peptides and the proteins, synthesized mainly from the nitrate, glutamic acid to the amino acid process. Exogenous amino acids are not fertilizer substitutes. He wants to be clear on that to make sure you know that the nitrogen from the amino acids is not significant enough to really explain the crop responses to exogenously applied amino acids. And the amino acid applications, more so under the stressful conditions, seem to allow the plant to use energy for other processes. Now, in terms of the physiological processes, in general, the plant is treated with externally applied amino acids and short chain peptides have shown an effect on nitrate reductase, malate dehydrogenase, leucine aminopeptidase, phosphorylase, and phosphatase, increases in chlorophyll concentration. Of course, because it is the Zwitter ions, chelation effect for mineral nutrient absorption, and in many cases you see a higher tolerance for abiotic and symbiotic stresses associated usually to an upregulation and increase in proline and hydroxyproline levels. So from a horticultural sense, we can see accelerated growth, improvements in yield from a quality or quantity standpoint, changes in concentration of soluble solids in the fruits and in pigments, and increased tolerance, as I mentioned, to the biotic and abiotic stresses. In his presentation today, he's divided into three parts. The first is an experiment using aminolevulinic acid, the second one on acetylthioproline, and the third on a consortium of free amino acids in a blend. First off, in his first experiment, he looked at acetylthioproline. It's also known as full cysteine and thiazolidin, carboxylic acid. They call it masked cysteine because it releases cysteine inside the cell. And so these plants treated with this AP, they're calling it acetylthioproline AP, have shown increased anabolic activity in protein synthesis, photosynthesis, and sulfur metabolism, and horticultural responses, again, yield, quality, usually greater on leafy crops and fruit crops, but not quite as strong on the root crops. In terms of AP effect on the container-grown tomato, he looked at heat-mastered tomato. They looked at application rates of this AP at 0, 25, 50, 75, and 100 milligrams per liter. They applied foliarly till runoff, either 14 days after transplant, 14 and 21 days, and 14, 21, and 21 days after transplant. In terms of the data, he's got two curves down here. The bottom curve is the 14 days after a transplant only. The top curve is an average of the other two treatments, which had the double and the triple application. And you can see there a significant increase in yield in ton per hectare over the range of increasing the rates up to 100 milligrams per liter. So in terms of their effects on the tomato, marketable yield tended to increase as the AP rates were increased. It was a greater response to the two applications than to the one, but the three applications didn't significantly improve it over the two. Maximum yield increase was approximately 20% with the two applications and about 15% with the one application. And the yield increase was mostly due to more large and medium-sized fruit. His second experiment looked at aminolevulinic acid. It's a natural compound found in higher plants, synthesized from glutamate. It is a precursor for chlorophyll and peroxidases. Some of the documented or historical work on this product saw increased chlorophyll synthesis, photosynthesis, and plant growth in radish, increased plant biomass and yield in beans, an increase in yield in wheat, an improvement of cold stress in rice seedlings, and even an increase in salt tolerance in spinach. The effects of aminolevulinic acid on lettuce, and research by Pablo back in 2011 on black-seeded Simpson lettuce in containers, looked at applications to runoff once or twice at 0.6 12 milligrams per liter and at 10 or 20 days after transplant. And in his data here, we got the percent yield above the control, or the control without the aminolevulinic acid, 10 days after treatment, 20 days after treatment, and 10 and 20 days after treatment. We are seeing a significant difference at 20 days and 20 and 10 and 20 days after treatment between the 6 and the 12. So we are seeing an effect in terms of percent yield above the control for all of the treatments. So the time of the application, the number of the applications, and the rates were important for the yield response. In this research, the best results were obtained with two applications of 12 at 10 and 20 days after treatment, after a transplant, which gave them about a 37% yield increase. And the application 10 days after transplant increased yield by about 15%. But he feels that the applications may have been a little bit too early, where there was relatively small leaf area, and they didn't get quite the response as the other treatments. His third experiment looked at a formulation of free amino acids on mango. In 2013, they looked at commercially available formulation containing about 5% free L-amino acids from enzymatic hydrolysis. This particular product was put on at 0, 2, and 4 liters per hectare, sprayed to runoff on mango leaves at full flower, and repeated 3, 6, and 9 weeks afterwards. And the mango variety they used was Edward at 100 trees, a density of 100 trees per hectare. And in this case here, we've got the rate of the biostimulant at 0, 2, and 4 liters per hectare. We've got fruit increase as a percentage compared to the control, fruit number increase as a percentage compared to the control, and the average fruit weight reduction as compared to the control. And as we increase the rate from 0 to 2 liters per hectare to 4 liters per hectare, we can see an increase in the fruit yield all the way up to 12.3, a significant one, an increase in fruit number from 0 to 22.2, but there is an average fruit weight reduction from 0 down to about 8.8. It's not significant, but there's certainly a trend there to smaller fruit. So the mango fruit retention increased about 22% when treated with the amino acid mixture. Increased fruit retention was associated with a tendency to smaller individual fruit weight, although the reduction was not significant. However, he noted that marketable fruit weight increased by about 12%. So in summary, in general, there is the potential for crop yield and quality enhancement with selected formulations of amino acids and related molecules in horticultural crops. Multiple applications seem to be more of a benefit in order to obtain significant yield and or quality effects. The time of the application, from the physiological stage, plant leaf area or size, and rate of application are important factors for the crop response. And because we all need to keep working, more research is needed for specific crops and systems. And he wanted me to get you guys to give me a round of applause for making his presentation. So, he did say that he wrote me an email and said, if you have any questions, take down his email there and you can fire them off to him, whether it's questions on this protocol or whether you have other questions on his data. And again, his apologies for not being able to be with us today.